As President Hosni Mubarak of Egypt has agreed to step down after 18 days of protests, ICTJ looks forward to how Egypt will transform over the next weeks and months, specifically in terms of justice and accountability. Hani Magali joins us here in New York to talk about what we can expect. Thank you for joining us, Hani.
Thank you very much.
President Mubarak has stepped down and power has been handed over to the military. What does this mean for the transition? Would a military-led interim government facilitate real change or simply sustain Mubarak's policies?
At the moment, the situation is still fairly fluid because even though President Mubarak has stepped down, it's unclear whether he has been removed by the military or he actually handed over authority to the council. So I think in the next few days we'll be able to see whether constitutionally there's a ticking clock in terms of how fast they need to be moving to elections or there's more time to be doing legislative reforms and preparing for a free and fair election. The hope, I think, is that the military council would hand over to an interim civilian government that can take charge of the process. And then the question is the timing for when elections can take place for a more permanent government.
How long might it take for Egypt to transition to a stable government, which is able to successfully represent many groups aiming for different kinds of changes?
That's a big question. If you look historically at other countries, these processes take years. So I think if people think this can be done in a six-month period, they should re-examine. Initially, I think the important thing is to take out the most egregious violations that existed in the constitution and in the other codes, and to begin a process that people regain confidence in law and order, regain confidence in state institutions, regain confidence in the laws that govern elections, political parties, freedom of assembly, etc. And if that space then is protected, I think we will begin to see much more of free discussions and minorities listening to majorities, majorities listening to minorities, and hopefully democratic processes being nurtured and growing.
What lessons learned from past transitions should Egypt consider as it prepares for the weeks and months ahead?
Egypt would do well to look at the transitions that have happened, particularly in the Americas and in some of the countries in Asia and Africa. These types of transitions, obviously, people are looking ahead in terms of wanting to ensure non-repetition, ensure law and order, and looking ahead in terms of the major complaints have been around corruption, have been around jobs and unemployment, around human rights violations. As people discuss these, I think it'll be very important that they have access to the documents and the archives, and it's a question whether some of these have already been destroyed in Egypt or are still intact. It'll be very important that there are wide consultations, particularly with the groups that have suffered the most. There'll be a lot of focus on reforms. Already there's a committee looking at institutional and constitutional reforms. The issue of accountability has been tabled already as President Mubarak has now gone. And it'll be very important to look at those types of processes. Truth-seeking is a very important process that helps some of these other tools to come into being, and it may be that Egypt should be looking at some of these experiences elsewhere. And certainly, I would imagine many of the victims of the last 30 years will be seeking compensation in one form or another. So it would be good to be looking at reparations programs in other countries and learn some of those lessons.
If Vice President Omar Suleiman or a military council leads an interim government, how will that affect civil society's pursuit of these legal reforms, justice, and accountability?
The military has a way to go, I think, to prove itself, given what's happened the last few weeks, when it stood by and allowed some of the thugs of the regime to go in and beat demonstrators And over the last couple of days, when it looked like the military was wavering between supporting the country and the people or supporting the head of state or the regime, people are questioning where the military will go. And some of the examination of past records, including over the last 30 years, will inevitably lead to examinations about the role of the military in some of the egregious violations that have taken place. So there may be resistance to discussions around accountability, around justice, around reforms. But that said, I think it's been clear to people that the reason President Mubarak had to step down is the demonstrators and others have not been satisfied with promises. They want to see urgent steps being taken and they want to see action. And they've heard promises in the past that have not been fulfilled. So I imagine that they will have taken heed of that and that they will have to show in the coming days or weeks that tangible processes are put in place to deal with issues around justice and accountability and reforms.
With millions of protesters keeping relative peace through a miraculous display of solidarity, the military refraining from force, can we be optimistic that even a prolonged transition will remain peaceful?
I hope so. I think what we've seen, even though people were questioning who is behind the demonstrations and pointing out the fact that there wasn't one clear leader who was emerging, the whole process has been very disciplined, by and large peaceful, well organized by those who organized the demonstrations and brought out people from all different classes, from all different professions. Yesterday we were seeing lawyers coming from the Bar Association dressed in their legal garb and marching onto Tahrir Square. We've seen many of the industries, laborers have gone on strike. That was very well organized. We've seen professors leaving the universities and leading their students to the square. So all in all, it's been very well organized, very orchestrated, and that bodes well for how people may respond to the coming steps. Certainly the role of the army, I think everyone felt that I talked to in Cairo felt that the army would never fire on civilians, and if push came to shove that they would not resort to violence. But we've seen the military security and military police themselves taking people into custody and beating them up and intimidating them before releasing them. I think by and large the relationship has been good between the military and the civilians, and the hope is that they can build on that and that will in itself form the stability that will give time for many of these important measures to be put in place.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on this eventful day.
Thank you very much. No, it's a pleasure.